Well, good morning. It is great to see everyone this morning. And I was, Howard, where'd Howard? He stole my thunder, as thunderous as it was going to be, which was not very. But what I have written up there, bring me down a little bit, because, yeah. Is that as loud out there as it is out here? All right. God's got something to say this morning, because in the class, in that class, in this class, in the songs, and in the prayers, and everything, we have been talking about the same thing. Now, the only two people that have any business being on the same page is Dan and I, because we actually talked about that this week. We sort of got together. Now, I didn't talk to Howard about really much of anything other than just, you know, my weekly messing with Howard, and I appreciated, you know, the fact that he realizes how the Holy Spirit works through this church. All right, as I was saying about Howard, he realizes that the Holy Spirit working through the church and saying what God wants to be said, and even as Hyatt read that that Jesus was coming and all of this working through even Gentiles and all of that, so it is exciting to see the Holy Spirit working through this church, and the Holy Spirit Jesus is for all and for the Gentiles, even Auburn fans. And you know, the this time of year, it's exciting. It really is. And it was exciting back then, thinking about Jesus coming. And in Luke chapter 22, Jesus was here. And we read about this episode, this Messiah that's coming, and it's described as God's comfort. And this morning we're going to talk about God's comfort this Christmas and this season. And in Luke 2, 21 through 22, we read about, and Simeon says that he's been waiting on this consolation. And the word there is the word comfort. He's been waiting on this comfort, this Messiah to come and to bring what Howard's been talking about all morning, what Ward was talking about in his class, what we've been talking about in here, and that is to bring this peace, not just peace between people, but more peace between us and God. That's what Jesus is doing then, and that's what he's doing now. So we want to talk about God's comfort. What is it to be comfortable? You ever lay down in your bed at night and you're thinking, oh, this is comfy. And then how long does it take before, oh, I got to get comfortable? Got to switch positions. I got to do something, that, you know, or if you're, you know, driving this type of weather in the car, isn't it almost impossible to get the temperature right? To get the condensation, you know, the moisture content on the inside the same as the outside, so that you don't have all this fog. And sometimes the fog's on the inside and you wipe it away, and sometimes it's on the outside. And my kids are like, why does it do that? And I don't know. It's chemistry, physics. Call Earl. He'll tell you. He knows. But, you know, and we've got these vehicles that have the temperature control for that side, and we got the temperature control for this side. And Vic and I were driving back from Murfreesboro a couple of nights ago after doing some shopping, and I'm burning up and she's freezing, and so she's like, well, look, you can adjust yours. She's got hers on 90 and mine's over there, it's on 65. And she's like, you know, I'm all worried. She said, what's going on? I said, well, I'm afraid of this cold front moving into your warm front over there, and we're gonna have a thunderstorm right here. A little tornado in the cup holder or something. But it's hard to get comfortable, isn't it? It's hard to be comfortable. It's hard to get comfortable, and it's hard to stay comfortable. But the key to comfort, and especially in experiencing God's comfort, is first we got to know that we're uncomfortable.
to experience the comfort, the peace. We have to know that there is a discomfort. And I believe with all of my heart that the greatest need in the church today is for us to recognize our discomfort. To recognize that outside of Christ, outside of our relationship with God, there is no comfort. And I'm afraid that as the church, we have found and have tricked ourselves into believing that there's comfort other than Jesus Christ. We have to understand that we are uncomfortable. Are you in need of comfort this morning? And I'm not talking about the kind of comfort that you get from dual climate zones in a vehicle. I'm not talking about, you know, the Sealy Posturepedic or brand new leather couches or a wall-to-wall carpet or a 401k or any of those things. I'm not talking about that. Are you in need of comfort? Do you know anybody who needs the comfort of Jesus Christ? Because Simeon, he was waiting. He was waiting for this because he knew that he was uncomfortable. He knew that there was a consolation, that there was a comfort that they needed, and it was on its way. So we ask ourselves, how does God comfort us? How does he? How does God take the uncomfortable? How does God take the lack of peace and make it comfortable or give us peace? It's a one-word answer. A one-word answer to solve all of the comfort issues, all of the peace issues, all of every issue that we have in our life. The one way that God has chosen to reveal His comfort. And that word is Jesus. Jesus says in John chapter 10 and verse 10, I am life. I am life. I have come that you will have life and have it abundantly. You know what abundantly means? It means plenty. It means enough. Jesus says, I have come so that for once in your life you will have enough. Just write that word down somewhere on your bulletin, in your Bible, somewhere, write enough. Jesus said, I've come. So you'll have enough. You know, this time of year, that's a word that we're all trying to get to. How many presents are under the tree? We have enough. How much of this? There's plenty. But think about your life. Think about everything. Think about all of the stuff that you worry about. Whether it's the health issues, I'm healthy enough. How much do you have saved up for, we've got enough. How warm, it's warm enough in here. How cool, it's cool enough. Man, that word, enough, it's haunted me over the last few weeks as I've prepared this. It's chased after me to think about all of the things that we pursue. And Jesus says that I alone am enough. And I'm afraid that we have our tank so full of the world and we think that Jesus is just going to top it off. But it's like oil and water. It doesn't mix. And so we never feel like there's enough. So the first thing we have to do is understand that Jesus is enough. See, Simeon was looking forward to this redemption. Anna was looking forward to the redemption of Israel, the comfort of God's people. As they were looking forward to it, as they were in that place, looking forward to what was to come, number one, for us to experience God's comfort, we have to understand that we are looking back at God's redemption. See, Jesus redeemed us. Jesus gave us worth. Hit it a couple more times. There we go. Jesus gave us worth. How valuable do you feel? Do we feel like we've been redeemed? You know, there's this neon sign. If you ever go to, what's the place? Oh, Raphael's. Yeah, Raphael's. There we go, Raphael's. Well, a lot of y'all don't know that Raphael's, there's this whole back room. And you know what they have in this whole back room? Yeah, skee ball and video games and all those kind of things where, like, my kids are like wolfing out pizza. I'm like, oh, yeah, we go back in the back room. You know what they do? They go play all these games, and your kids and grandkids probably do the same. And they bring you these tickets. Oh, the tickets. Al shaking. Oh, I know the tickets. Yeah. You know, those are the little red things that you find in the dryer after they've gone through the wash and the dryer in your pocket. But you get these tickets. And they're not really worth anything until you go stand underneath this big neon sign that says redemption. And that's where you redeem your tickets. And you know what you get for your tickets? Not a lot. But to those kids, it's everything. I mean, you'll spend $20 in skee ball and you'll get 4,000 tickets. And you're like, oh my gosh, look at this. This is great. And what is it? I don't know. It's a plastic back scratcher. All right, great. Can't wait for the dog to chew that up. But that sign, you know, redemption, where you redeem those, you take those tickets and you get in that place, you get the value. There's value placed on those things. And for us, looking back to this Messiah, it isn't just a day. The birth of Christ wasn't just when all of our sins, you know, were forgiven. And the life of Christ isn't just about forgiving us so that we get it. It's about giving us our value back. It's about our worth. It's about Jesus coming and living with us because we're worth that. How valuable are you? One of the things that strikes me is, as I drive through, you know, riding bikes or whatever, you see out in the country these fields, and, you know, it's all mowed, and then there's this, you know, place that's not mowed, and it's kind of got, it's grown up, and you look in there, and you know what you see in the middle of that thicket of grass? Some old car, some old truck, some abandoned vehicle. Not worth hardly anything. And I'm always thinking about the, you know, at some point, I mean, I would love to go back in time and see that vehicle, that tractor, that, you know, when it was on the showroom floor, when it was there on the lot, when somebody that, you know, been walking around that thing and kicking the tires and were just so excited about it, how shiny it was. And at some point it was the height of technology. And then over time, because of breakdowns or wearing out or rusting or a wreck or something, it's lost all its value. It's lost all its worth. And now all it is a pain to mow around. Man, if somebody just, I mean, it's not even worth hauling off. I'm afraid that because of our willingness, our desire to find our own comfort and to be comforted in things that won't last, that don't stay comfortable, that we've allowed the world to rust away all of our worth, to strip us of our value. And so we see ourselves as worth nothing. But Jesus says that's not the truth. And when we look back at our redemption, when we look back, when we stand under that sign, we are redeemed. Our value is returned. Our worth is placed back in us. Then we are free. For number two, not only do we look back at redemption, but we live now in this power based on our worth. We understand who we are in Christ. And our lives have an eternal purpose. See, Satan can't lie to us anymore. If you've got your Bibles, turn over to Acts chapter 4. I love this passage. I love reading the Acts of the Apostles. And just the different episodes that they lived through. And in Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, starting in verse 32, all the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them. Turn over a couple more pages to Acts chapter 10. Starting in verse 34, then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of, what's that word, Howard? Peace. The good news of the comfort that has come through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. You see, because we are redeemed, because comfort came to God's people, we live in a power, and Satan has no hold over us any longer. He can't lie to us. He can't say that you're not worth anything and God has abandoned you and you can't accomplish much and you're not talented and you're not this, you're not that. You know what Paul said, who experienced all of that? He said, yeah, keep telling me how weak I am, because in my weakness, he is strong. Because he gives me comfort. Because he is my peace. How powerful are we living? Are we living chasing after a comfort that we already have? Are we living weak and purposeless lives because we're chasing after a comfort that's found in the world, that's fleeting, that's always shifting, that's always becoming less and less comfortable? Or do we live with a power, knowing that the comfort from Christ will never leave us? Because of that redemption, our worth is eternal. Because when we start living like that, when we recognize the power, when we recognize the consolation, the comfort, not only do we live in power now, but we look forward with hope. You see, they were looking forward to redemption. We look back at it. We know that it has arrived. They were anticipating the power. We live in it. And we look forward with hope. You know, one of the phrase that you hear a lot this time of year, some from the, you know, mostly from the young and young at heart, and sometimes from the less young. I love this phrase. I can't wait. I can't wait. You know, I think about this commercial, this Disney World commercial, big smile, and she knows what I'm talking about. You know, they plan this trip to Disney World, and it's tomorrow they leave for Disney World, and it's these kids, and they go get in the bed, and the mom and the dad are, you know, they're laying there in the bed, and they're all excited, and the kids come running in, like, why aren't you in the bed? We're too excited to sleep. Rick and I say that all, oh, I'm too excited to sleep. Have you ever been too excited to sleep? I can't wait. I mean, you see all those presents under the tree, and you're just, oh, I can't wait, and you're shaking them. Oh, I wonder what's in that one. Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. My question for us this morning is, can we wait? Can we wait? Or are we like Simeon and Anna? Those, are we like them who just in with bated breath in the temple? I can't wait for this to happen. I can't wait for the Messiah to be here. I just can't wait. I'm so excited about this. And for us, we're not waiting on the Messiah. We're not waiting on the redemption, on the consolation. It's already happened for us. But can we wait to see him? And by see him, I mean experience Him in the now. Because whenever we choose to live a life that He's called us to live, whenever we choose to accept His invitation to ministry or to do anything that's in the kingdom work, we experience Jesus now. But I'm afraid that the church is too willing to wait to experience Him. You know that song, "Oh, We Want to Go to Heaven, Just Not Today"? You know, I'm not talking about dying and going to heaven. I'm talking about living and experiencing heaven. That's what Jesus said in John 10:10. We've come full circle. Do you realize that? Jesus said, "I've come, they might have life." See, the thief, if you go and read that, he says, you know, the thief comes to steal, the lie. Satan will lie to us. You'll say, there's comfort in this world. There's all of these other things that you can pursue. But Jesus says, "I have come that you can have life." And if we live the life that He's called us to have, if we live outside of ourselves, if we're generous, if we're mission-minded, if we're ministers, if we are a nation of priests, you know what we experience now? Real life. Heaven on earth. But I'm afraid that the church has accepted a worldly comfort. I'm afraid that Christians have pursued to the point of being intoxicated on other than God. And so instead of, "I can't wait," we're fine. What I can come up with on my own is much better than anything under that tree. And by, I mean that tree. I can do that. I can comfort myself. So I don't need that. What's waiting for me under that tree? That can wait. But like God said, that unless we change and become like little children, we'll never see the kingdom. And that's not a "you're not going to heaven" passage. He's saying that unless we become like little children and we can't wait to see Him, we can't wait to experience Him, that then guess what we won't? We won't follow Him in His death, burial, and resurrection. We won't follow Him and pick up our cross. And guess what? When we don't pick up our cross, we don't experience Him. We don't see Him. So this Christmas, I'm asking, can we be like little kids and not wait any longer? You know, if you have kids or grandkids and they know there's presents under that tree and you said, "Hey, guess what? When we get home today, you can open them." I mean, we don't have to wait another week and a half? No. Today. Noah, how fast you think you could get home to open them presents? Pretty fast. Wouldn't even need to get, you'd get halfway there before you realize you forgot the car. You mean today? I don't have to wait to open those presents? Absolutely. Guys, we don't have to wait to open the presents, to experience the Lord. We don't have to wait any longer. We just have to realize that what we're experiencing isn't comfort. And what Jesus brings is true comfort. I'll end with this. Philippians chapter 4, 19. God will meet all of your needs according to His riches. If we trust in Him, if our hope is in the Lord, He will meet all of our needs. Do we have any need this morning? Because whatever your need is, God will meet it. Have you ever experienced 100% total and just 100% enough? The Bible says that we can experience that. Dan's going to come up and he's going to lead us in a song. It's our invitation song. And the invitation this morning is, I'm inviting you to enough. I'm inviting you to a complete and total consolation of God's people, inviting you to comfort. Whatever your need is, whether it's issues over health or finances or relationships or sin, a besetting sin that just won't go away, whatever you need, God is able and willing to provide enough. If you need the prayers of this church, if you need to confess Christ and be baptized, Whatever your need is, would you be comforted this morning as together we stand and as we sing?